Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday. Making sure you guys are on your toes. Making sure you guys are on your toes. Just so you know, I asked the opinion of the worship team while they rehearsed and said, hey, listen, this is the possible sermon intro that I may use. Do you think this will get me kicked out of the church or not? And they said, go for it. I'm not sure what their motivation was, but they said it'd be okay. But hey, good morning. We are indeed starting a brand new series, and a series called Chasing Carrots, and really, really excited about that, and really, really, really excited about where God's going to take us. Before we move into that, I just want to just hit a pause on that and just want to have a moment of prayer. You guys know this week, our country began to engage in some things that could lead to larger things. And I think it's just important for us as a church to stop and maybe pray for our country and pray for the country that we're blessed to live in. Obviously, as Christians, our first allegiance is to the cross and to Jesus Christ. We just happen to be blessed to be living in these United States of America. So is it okay? Can we just pause real quick? And I just think it'd be really neat if we just stop and would pray for our country. Yes. Sure. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Our former pastor, Hoag Robinson, his son, is being deployed as a part of this. But because as believers, our first prayer is for peace. Amen. Our first prayer is for peace. We're not excited about the thoughts of war. That doesn't excite us. Our first prayer is for peace. But we also understand that that's just a part of the world that we live in. But let's pray. Father, Lord, we pause just briefly, just out of the ordinary of what we're trying to move into. But Lord, I just felt... just a moment to pause. And Lord, we lift up our country that we're blessed to live in, the United States of America. And Lord, you know the worldwide things that have taken place this week. And Lord, you know the ramifications that may or may not come as a result of some things that have happened this week. And so Lord, we just want to pause and pray. First foremost, our first prayer is for peace. Our prayer is always for diplomacy to prevail, and Lord, that we don't want to wage war, but Lord, we understand that that's a part of it sometimes. And so, Lord, we pray for those who have volunteered to be a part of the military forces of the country that we're blessed to live in, that wear that American flag on their shoulder. And so, Lord, just as a church, we feel it's our duty to lift our government up in prayer. We lift up our leaders, Lord, all of those that are involved in this process. Lord, most of all, We are praying for peace, but Lord, we do pray for those who are engaged in this situation. Lord, just would you just surround them, Father? Lord, I even pray for folks on the other side. Lord, your word tells us to pray for our enemies, and Lord, I take that literally. So I pray for those who may be on the other side of this situation, Father, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in real ways. Lord, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. I really appreciate it. Like I said, we're beginning a new series today, and I'm really excited about it because it's a series that falls right in line where most of us are thinking with just bringing in a new year. Many of you perhaps have been taking inventory of things this past week. You've been going through closets and determining what's important and what's not. And that's kind of been happening at my house. You know, we kind of do that. Christmas comes along, and you know, kids get new toys and things like that. And so we take inventory. Hey, what can we donate? What can we give away? What is not needed around here? And the truth is, we should be doing this spiritually as well. We should be taking inventory of perhaps what has clouded our vision, our spiritual vision. And so this is what our series, Chasing Carrots, is all about. We are recognizing that in this past year, we may have fallen into the trap of chasing more. Whatever that more is for you, perhaps more recognition, more money, more acceptance, more ways to be perfect, or more ways to have satisfaction, whatever that is, perhaps this year we've been falling into the trap of chasing more. Because the truth is, we all like more, right? We all like more. More is better. We've all seen those commercials, those insurance commercials that remind you that more is better. Perhaps you've been the one who's always thought, man, if I just had this, then everything would be okay. If I just had these things happen, if I just had this, then it would be okay. I honestly, I'm preaching to myself on that. I'm the king of just thinking, man, if I just, especially when it comes to organizational stuff, Casey can tell you, I'm always like, and if I just had this type of desk, and if I just had this type of file cabinet, then I would be more organized. When I was in grad school, I did a large part of my grad school online. And so I told Casey, I said, I want a nice desk. I want a desk in the house where I can do my schoolwork. And if I just had that, I feel like I'll just be a very good student. I'll be a very studious student. And so we went out and we found this desk. And Casey can tell you, I wrote most of my papers laying on the floor or on the couch, not at that desk. But I told myself, if I just had this, then this will go a little bit easier. Anybody fallen into that trap? I did in high school. I played basketball in high school, and I was always telling myself, if I just had this basketball shoe, if I just had this piece of equipment, it'll make me a better player. Those of you who play golf, you fall into this trap. If you just had that driver, if you just had that nice tailor-made driver, then perhaps it would take your game to the next level. That's not true. I've done all that. I've tried all the nice golf equipment, and I still end up in the pine straw or the rough or wherever it may be that you're not supposed to be. That's where I'm at. Amen. Last time I went golfing, Gene said to me, "Preacher, you're supposed to be in the grass." I said, "I know, Gene. I'm trying to get there. trying to get there. But let's face it. As humans, we all like more. We all like more. And so this is why we have to be careful about more. We have to be careful about the more that we're chasing after. Like a hamster on a wheel, so many of us perhaps are chasing after so much that we will never, it will never fill us up or make us whole. We're chasing after so much. And we have to stop and realize that the majority of what we're chasing after, we're like that hamster on a wheel. We're never going to feel full or feel whole. These are the things that we chase that we can never get enough of. More stuff, more likes on social media, more comfort, more validation. Ultimately, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing in this world that will bring true satisfaction without Christ. Amen. I think we all can agree on that. But with Christ, we can be content no matter what our circumstances. As believers, we believe that. It is Christ that is the center of true contentment. It is Christ that is the center of understanding and finding true joy and wholeness. So during this series, the message style is going to be a little bit different than what we've been used to. First of all, you get a rap song as a sermon intro. How about that? But more importantly, it's going to be a little bit different than what we've been doing with the Gospel of Luke or the Advent series. With those message styles, I take one text and I allow that one text to preach itself, honestly. Whereas this series falls more in line to more of a topical thing. We explore topics, or we explore maybe felt needs that I feel like we as a church need to understand how Scripture informs those various topics. It could be, we're going to explore things like money and acceptance and comfort. And so this is how we're going to dive in today. We're going to start here with our anchor verse for the series. It's going to be Matthew 6:33. And Jesus reminds us of this: "But seek ye first," or "seek first his," I'm quoting, I got the KJV memorized, "but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." But seek what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things I want to say will be added unto you, because again, we've memorized the KJV version of that and that song. Remember the song? Seek ye first the king. Yeah, I'm not going to sing that to you, but you understand. These are the words of Jesus that comes, it comes to us. Jesus says these words after a series of teachings on stuff. He's been talking about stuff. Stuff as in money, possession, and the things that people worry about. And Jesus says, don't worry about these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. He goes on to say that we don't need to worry about what we need. We don't need to worry about these things, but what we need to do is seek first His kingdom. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about acceptance. Don't worry about possessions. Don't worry about what someone else is saying. Don't worry about what another family is doing or not doing. Don't worry about what someone's house looks like on social media. It may look perfect and yours doesn't. Don't worry about that. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first in the kingdom of God. And so in a world that has us in this endless pursuit of more, Jesus steps in and says, quit the endless pursuit and seek first my kingdom. And so like I said, during the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the endless pursuit of money, the endless pursuit of the approval of others, the endless pursuit of comfort. Now that's going to be one that's uncomfortable, no pun intended. But especially as Westerners and Americans, man, we love to be comfortable, don't we? Oh, we love to be comfortable and secure. We'll step on some toes there, I would imagine. But we love feeling secure and comfortable. And then we'll also look at the endless pursuit of perfection, always feeling like we have to always have it together. So today I want to tackle a topic that at first it may seem not seem relevant to us, especially a group of folks in East Camden, South Carolina. You know, a lot of us are just blue-collar folks. And so this may not sound relevant, but I think it is. I want to talk about fame or the pursuit of fame. I'm convinced of this. At no other time in our history could this topic be more relevant. In a world that revolves around likes and loves and hits on a website, I think now more than ever we need to take a look at what Scripture says about the pursuit of fame. And some of you may be saying, well, I'm not chasing fame. I'm not trying to be an actor or a singer or anything like that. But how many of us want to be known? How many of us want to be loved by everyone, accepted, or admired? How many of us want to make sure that we get credit for the work that we do at work? How many of us can make an Excel spreadsheet do all kinds of magic, and we want to make sure the whole office knows I wrote that Excel code? I did that. That's my spreadsheet. And it may not come off like that. You may not literally flaunt through the office saying, that's my spreadsheet. But deep down, sometimes that can, you know, that can consume us. Don't let so-and-so four cubicles down get credit for that Excel spreadsheet or that presentation or that document. Again, I think this subject is very relevant. How many of us that are involved on social media, we're consumed with how many likes something got? And we all do this. Again, half the time, actually 99% of the time, if I'm preaching, I'm preaching at me. All right? For someone who's involved in social media like I am, for someone who's even involved in public life here locally, I mean, this is something that, Lord, please help me. Whatever I do, I don't want it to be about bringing attention to me. But sometimes we fall in that trap. There are people that are so consumed with social media that they'll post a picture, and if it doesn't get a certain amount of likes, you know what they'll do? They'll delete it. Oh, well, that didn't get the likes I thought was going to. That didn't get the attention that I thought was going to. The young adults in here, you guys know. You know who I'm talking about. You've got friends like that. You know. You know who it is. Again, I think the subject is more relevant. And I love that it's the first thing of the month, so it's families first, and the kids are in here. Because this topic is really, I want them to hear this. Because did you know, especially if you have kids or grandkids, but I came across a study, because this current generation can really struggle with this. I think you'll find this interesting. Among some 10 to 12-year-olds that were asked in this study, you want to guess what their number one goal in life was? You want to guess what their goal was? It wasn't money. It wasn't to obtain money. That generation is probably my parents or my grandparents' age, the generation that their goal was to have money or a security. My generation, our goal was probably more, you know, to go to college, be successful. But this generation, it's not about community or feeling like a sense of family. Their number one goal, at least in this study that I saw, was fame. That was their number one goal, was to be known. And so you may, yourself may not be struggling with this, but you may have a child in your home or a preteen or a teenager or a young adult. I can guarantee you they are in some way are struggling with this anxiety of wanting to be known and making sure that they are known about certain things. But you know, fame has changed over the years. You may think, wow, all these kids, they want to be actors or they want to be singers. No. See, fame has changed. What makes you famous is totally different. And you know, back for some of you guys who are and gals who are, you know, you're getting your AARP card now. Fame for you, you know, may have been, you know, athlete, you know, Julius Erving, Michael Jordan, Joe DiMaggio. It was centered around athletes or the Beatles or things like that. It was centered around people who did things like that. But now you can become famous just by making some crazy video and putting it on the internet. I see the girls back here. If you ask them who's famous to them, I guarantee you they're going to tell you some girl that goes in Five Below and just shops. Or some person who does these reviews or these videos, this person that plays these games in their house, some sort of version of hide and go seek or whatever, you know, and they put it on YouTube, and this is the media that we are consuming. There's nothing wrong with that. It's all fine. But fame has just changed so much. I want to show you a video that kind of helps illustrate this point. Those of us who went to NYC Phoenix. Where are we at? There we are. There's a few of us here. Stephen went. Yeah, you are. Yeah. So, just prove this point. Fame, people can become famous just like that. So, we're at NYC, Nazarene Youth Conference in Phoenix this past summer. And so, every evening, we bring in a big-name Christian band. During the day is mission projects and leadership development. But night's just kind of a fun time. We bring in concerts and so we had brought in the Newsboys. Now, those of us who are my age, when we heard, because it was a secret artist, we didn't know who was coming on this night. But when they said it was the Newsboys, I was like, yes. You know, all the 30-somethings were like, yeah, Newsboys. Especially since Michael Tate's the lead singer now. He was the lead singer of DC Talk, you know, which is, you know. And of course, so we were really worried that, man, these kids, they're not going to care about the Newsboys. That was the biggest concert that night. I guarantee, I can just please know that. But he comes, so Michael Tate, he gets to a point where the Newsboys, they decide to do an old DC Talk song called Jesus Freak. Anybody remember? Familiar with that one? Yeah, there we go. So they decide to do the old DC Talk Jesus. What would people say when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people? Yeah, I didn't get on the stage because I could have. And so they're setting this song up. I got a video I want to show you. I've got it clipped down, so I want to set it up for you. So they get to the point where, hey, we want to do Jesus Freak, but man, but Toby Mac, who was the rapper from DC Talk, Toby Mac's not here, and man, I wish there was somebody who could do Toby Mac's rap part to Jesus Freak. Is there anybody out in the crowd who could do that? And everyone's like, yeah, you know. And so one person raised their hand, and Michael Tate says, now, are you serious? Because what's about to happen may make you and I both look really silly. Are you sure you know this? He goes, oh, I'm good. Yeah, he backs off. But there's one little circle of people. They're all pointing at this guy. They're all pointing at this guy. This guy right here. And so they bring this guy up. I want you to see this video because this is not the guy. If you lined up people and said, who's going to know Jesus Freak by heart, you would not have chosen this young man. Check this out. Listen for his name. You got faith in the next one. You go to the next one. So that was Chester from Nebraska. Chester from Nebraska got up and killed Jesus Freak, the song. Not literally killed is a good term, okay, for those of you who may not understand what I'm saying. Yeah, he got up and he just killed that song. And you can, our group was sitting up in the upper bowl. And he got up, and my whole row were like, this is going to be hilarious. Chester from Nebraska is going to sing with Michael Tate. I've got to see this. So here's this, a ninth or tenth grader, grew up in a small Nazarene church, smaller than our church, from some small town in Nebraska. He comes to NYC with maybe 100 followers on Instagram. Maybe 100. After that night, he got over 4,000 followers on Instagram in about 6 hours. In fact, all of us, we were on his Instagram page just refreshing, and it would just tick up by like tens and 20s and 30s. I mean, because people were just, man, gotta follow Chester, man, this guy's awesome. I mean, so Chester, he experienced this fame just like that. Wasn't really looking for it. He's just a kid who knew every Newsboys and every DC talk song ever. He went to their version of TNT in Nebraska. He went to their top Nazarene talent there in Nebraska, and he would always sing Michael Tate songs. I mean, talk about a lesson in always being ready, being prepared, because you never know when your moment may happen, you know? And I understand that I think Michael Tate went to a Winterfest near his hometown, and they brought him to their Winterfest. And he did that part again at one of their Winterfests. So here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with fame. I believe God uses people who have excelled in their field and have achieved some level of fame. We see that all the time. But we have to be mindful of this. And this is what I want you to, the first thing I want you to see. And it'll be on the screen. Similar to a pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of fame makes it difficult to follow Jesus because it can move our focus towards ourselves and away from God and away from others. So there's nothing wrong with fame. There's nothing wrong with what's happened in Chester. I was excited about that. There's nothing wrong with maybe folks like a Tim Tebow or others who just excel in what they do and they become famous. But when we are all wrapped up in being known, we are all wrapped up in being accepted, it's when things begin to get in the way. But see, because we are called to reflect God. We are called to give God all the glory. Anything that happens in our lives is we're called to allow that to reflect the goodness and to show others the goodness of God. I'm reminded of a particular faith ancestor from the Bible who handled his fame very well. Through the Advent season, you heard at least two messages on John the Baptist. And I think John the Baptist is someone who handled the fame fairly well. You know, John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have something in common? They shared the same middle name. And, there you go, yeah. Took a little bit. John the Vet, Whitney the Vet, okay. But he handled this, it was like, golly, get him out of here. Let's go eat lunch. But John the Baptist, he was Jesus' cousin who prepared the way for Jesus. He had established this large following. In many ways, the scripture doesn't talk about it a whole lot, but what we know of John the Baptist, he, in a small way, he had a following. He had established some little bit of fame. He was this prophet from the wilderness who was proclaiming repentance. He was baptizing. And he could have used all of this for his own glory. I mean, even Jesus himself came to John to be baptized. I mean, John could have went through all the region saying, you know, that Nazarene Messiah, he can't even be baptized. Yeah, you know, he's got a good message, but I mean, he really got it for me. You know, John really could have went a different way with that. And so, in fact, people came to John in John chapter 3, in the Gospel of John, in the latter part of chapter 3, Jesus began his ministry, and Jesus himself is baptizing and doing things. People came to John and they say, "Hey, John, that guy from Nazareth, that Messiah that you he's now baptizing people." Almost like, "Hey, man, he stole your stick, you know? He stole your baptizing thing." And this is what John says. Look at John 3, verse 30. "He must become greater, and I must become less." Amen. That's what John the Baptist had to say about all of that. That's what he had. He had to remind them, "Listen, I'm here to reflect God's goodness. I'm here to show people the gospel. This is not about me. This is not for people to look at me. This is so that I become less and that he becomes greater." And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is our motive in life? What is our motive in life? Whether we are seeking fame or not, I believe our lives should be guided by two questions. The first one being, what is our motive? Or in other words, who are we representing? When you go to work, when you go to school, and when all the things that you do, all the things that you may get accolades for, when you post things on social media, what is your motive and who are you representing in that? Obviously, the answer should be, of course, Jesus. That's a good Sunday school answer that we should be able to give, but let's be honest. There are times in our lives when our motive is truly not the gospel. There are times in our lives when our motives may be very, very self-centered. Again, this is something that preaches to me. As someone who ran a political campaign, it's even a small one. I mean, you get a little picture of, man, you gotta make sure you give attention to certain things, and especially on social media, that people see things a certain way, God help me to. Help us to stay grounded in all of these things. You know, we use social media at church to get things out and to get the message out. We'll post small videos of things that are happening up here, not because we're trying to highlight, you know, anything that the worship band's doing or anything else like that. We're just trying to get the word out, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we just have to be mindful that who are we representing and what is our motive in doing the things that we do? The Apostle Paul reminded us in 2 Corinthians that it all comes back to Christ. He says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Come back to God. It all comes back to pointing people towards this relationship with God. Whatever we do, our lives should reflect Christ and turn others to Christ. So the next thing we need to ask ourselves is, whose approval matters most? Whose approval matters most? Sometimes our pursuit of fame may not come out in the more obvious ways of wanting to be known or to get all the credit. It could be that our pursuit of fame comes out in more subtle ways, like being obsessed with the approval of everyone else. But we have to remember, it's not about what other people think. It's not about what other people think, but it's about what honors God. It's about what God approves of. In the book of Thessalonians, Paul was writing to the church there in Thessalonica, and he's talking about all the things that they've been doing and all the hard work of the gospel. And they say this here in Thessalonians 2:4. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. Paul had gone into a situation where he had to speak truth. He had to be bold about some situations. And Paul says, hey, listen, I'm not here for your approval. I'm here to do the work of the gospel. I'm not here to get good ratings. I'm not here to get a bunch of likes on social media. I'm not here to walk away leaving you guys with this feeling that, man, he's such a great person. I'm here to do the work of the gospel. Now, that doesn't give us a license to be a jerk. Because some of us, we hear, prove for others, I got that one, preacher. I don't care what anybody says. Or I don't care what anybody thinks. Because that's just a different person. I'm more of a people-pleasing personality, which, man, that's, being a pastor, and that can wreak havoc on a people-pleasing person. But there's other people who, man, you're the total opposite of people-pleasing. You're like, they're mad, whatever. You know, let's get off my back, you know, whatever. We got to find that happy medium, I think. You know, when we talk about that we're living for the approval of God, that doesn't mean that we just disregard anyone else's feelings, but at the core of what we're doing, we understand that, hey, listen, this may not be the most popular thing in my social circle. This may not be a decision that all of my friends are really going to agree with, but you know what? At the end of the day, I'm living for the approval of God and not anyone else. You see, because if you're looking for validation in your life, please know this. You've already been validated. You've already been validated by God sending his son to die on a cross for you, and the salvation that is provided for you, the love that Christ has provided for you through the death and the resurrection is all the validation that we need. And we live in a world, man, we live in a world where we're always looking to be validated. We're always looking, hey, what are people thinking? How are people feeling about this? But please don't forget that. Your validation has come through what Christ has done. So I'll leave you with a couple of final thoughts. We're not called to be famous. We're called to be faithful. Amen. We're not called to be famous. We're called to be faithful. When we stand before God in eternity, God's not going to say, well done, good and faithful social media star. You know, God's not, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. God's not going to say, good job, person who treated everyone, you know, poorly, but by God, you were at church every Sunday, but man, you treated everyone really bad, you know. God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because we're not called to be famous, we're called to be faithful, we're called to be servants, not celebrities, as believers. The Christian journey is not worried about the applause of many, but the applause of one, our audience of one. The psalmist reminds us in 115:1, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. This was John the Baptist. This was kind of his mantra. For John, it was less of me, more of him. Less of me, more him. And this is what our lives should be about. Less of us, less of David, and more of God. Psalm 102:11-12 reminds us, my days are like evening shadow. I wither away like grass, but you, Lord, you sit enthroned forever. Your renown or your fame endures through all generations. I love that. The Lord, He sits and He sits enthroned forever. And it's not our fame. It's not our renown, but it is His that will last through generations and generations. It's so easy to kind of fall into that trap of worrying about things that are just so fleeting. But we're called to worry about things that are much, much more eternal. Aren't you thankful that we serve a faithful God? I want to invite you to stand with us, and we're going to end with the song that we sang earlier. It's a song that reminds us of God's faithfulness. A song that reminds us that maybe you're feeling a little bit low. Maybe you're feeling like you don't have enough validation, or you feel like people are not recognizing things about you. But it's a song that reminds us that through all that, God is faithful. And the only validation that we need is from the one true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's sing this song as we close out.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.